Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about overcoming addiction. And I'm going to tell you the deepest root cause at the bottom of every addiction. Listen up. Because this information I'm going to give you here is not just for hardcore drug addicts. This is something that's going to be useful for everybody. I'm going to share with you some deep insights that I got from my own food addiction and overcoming my food addiction earlier in my life. And what that's going to give you is it's going to give you a really deep, high-level understanding of what addictions are and why they exist and where they ultimately stem from, because every addiction stems from the exact same deep place. Firstly, though, how do we tell that we have an addiction? There's a great litmus test that I can give you, which I got from Gay Hendricks. I really love this. And what he basically says is, if you stop doing the behavior that you suspect that you're addicted to, if you stop doing it for 1 week and cravings arise, then that means that you're addicted. And if you stop doing it and no cravings arise, that means you're not addicted. So this is a very simple rule of thumb. You can run this test on any behavior you have that you suspect of being an addiction. And if you actually do this and try this out, you might be shocked at what you surprise, at how many things you're addicted to. You might discover that you're addicted to things that you wouldn't even have normally thought were addictions. These days in modern society, almost everyone is an addict. The only question is, to what degree? How severe is it? And how many addictions do you have? Most of us have not one or two addictions, but at least half a dozen, if not a dozen or more. The most common addictions are, of course, drugs, but also food, porn, tobacco, alcohol, TV and internet, video games, very common these days. Also socialization, chit-chatting and partying with your friends, shopping, work, gossip, and thinking. Now, thinking's a really interesting one. You might think that you're not addicted to thinking and that thinking doesn't really qualify as an addiction. But man, actually, thinking is the number one thing that most people are addicted to, and they don't even know it. Now, that's a tangent that I can't go into here. That's a very deep rabbit hole that I talk about in my enlightenment videos and in my meditation videos, so I won't cover it here. But what I want to do here is I want to talk about the root cause of all of these addictions, because they only have one ultimate root cause, and that is fear of emptiness. Fear of emptiness. Sounds kind of weird. Fear of emptiness. How does this create addiction? Well, it's really the fear of the emptiness that you experience when you are alone with nothing to do. So if you just sit in a room and don't do anything for an extended period of time, you will notice this fear of emptiness come up. And it comes up in many different ways. And what addictions are, is they're distractions and escapes from this existential emptiness fear that all of us have who have not faced it head on. The way that I discovered this is with my food addiction. I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be overweight, quite heavily overweight for most of my life, since I was about 10 years old until I was about 21 or 22 years old, all through school and through the first half of college. I was quite overweight, and not just overweight, but I was really obsessed with food, and I overate a lot of food and just ate terrible food. And then when I got into college, finally, I decided that this is something I need to change. And over the course of about 6 months, I put a stop to all of it, and I got myself in shape, and I've stayed pretty lean ever since. Now, The thing that I discovered, though, in those first few days when I started to make that transformation with my diet and with my fitness, is I discovered this root cause of addiction. I didn't realize that it was all addictions. I thought it was just food. But what I realized, and I remember this very vividly, is I was sitting there at home. It was late at night, and usually I would go grab a snack, some candy or some soda or some ice cream or whatever while I was just relaxing after college. But what happened here is that I committed to eating cleaner, so I made a commitment not to eat any dessert or to drink any soda or any sugary type products. And I had some ice cream in the refrigerator. And I was sitting there just watching some TV, and I really got this craving for some ice cream. And I wanted to go grab some the way I normally would. But then I remembered that, no, I can't do that because I made this commitment to clean up my diet. And so what I did is, this was a decisive moment for me. I just sat there. I sat there and didn't move, didn't do anything, just sat there. The TV was playing, and I just watched this craving for ice cream course through my body. And it was a whole physical reaction, right? A whole physical reaction. As you know, with addictions, if you've ever tried to quit something like smoking or drinking or porn or whatever, is that you have this whole craving that your body goes through. It's not just a mental thing. It's also a physiological thing. And so what I did is I forced myself to sit there and just to experience it. And that was the decisive moment for me. From then on, my whole diet got a lot easier because I was able to crack that that really difficult, the most emotionally challenging moment in this whole phase of changing my diet, was just to sit there and to not give in to this craving and just kind of observe it more or less mindfully. So that's what I did. So I'm going to use food as the kind of prototypical example throughout the discussion here in this episode. But of course, you can replace food with any addiction. It doesn't matter. When I'm talking about food, you replace it with whatever you're addicted to. Internet, porn, video games, relationships, love, thinking, anything. It doesn't matter, right? It's all the same stuff, basically. So the problem that you have with whatever you're addicted to is that you're basically unable to sit alone in an empty room. You can't stand it. So what you do is you turn to blank as your distraction and fill in the blank with whatever you want. So you turn to food as a distraction, or you turn to drugs as a distraction, or you turn to shopping as a distraction. Now you might wonder, like, what does this have to do with anything? Why is this notion of sitting alone in an empty room, why would that be important? And why is this being used as kind of the metric to judge things? Isn't it sort of arbitrary? And actually, no, it's not arbitrary. It's a very special metric. It's very important because, in a sense, the degree to which you are self-developed and the degree to which you're emotionally mature and the degree to which you are capable as a human being is the degree to which you can sit alone in an empty room without any external stimulation. See? And the degree to which you need external stimulation to feel happy in your life is the degree to which you have no mastery over your life. It's the degree to which you are a slave to external reality. It's the difference between being externally grounded and internally grounded. And the whole aim of self-actualization is to ground yourself deeper and deeper into your own being internally. And being internally means just being, rather than doing, rather than running around and stimulating yourself with television or food or anything else, you see? So this criteria of sitting alone in an empty room and being fulfilled or satisfied, or at the very least, not agitated and full of craving sensations, is a very important metric. It's a very important litmus test. And you can try this by yourself. Just sit alone comfortably in a room for an hour or two doing nothing and see how you feel. Do you feel okay? Do you feel happy? Do you feel normal? Or do you feel antsy and bored and pissed off and frustrated and agitated and you can't even sit still for 5 minutes? Or you're lost in fantasies in your mind about stuff. You're dreaming about sex and you're dreaming about food and you're dreaming about business and you're dreaming about work and all this other stuff. But you can't just be present in the moment. This is very, very important. A lot of people completely underestimate how important this is. You can't really be satisfied in life if you can't sit alone in an empty room for a couple of hours without cravings. And most people can't do that. And the reason that is fundamentally that your life is hollow. See? Your life is actually empty, but you've been running away from that truth, from that reality, for most of your life. Ever since you were a child, and you started playing video games, or you started playing with toys, or you started reading books, or watching television, or whatever you started doing, eating food, candy, all that stuff was you getting attached to stimulation because you weren't able just to be present and satisfied with stillness and with being. So what you started to do early on in your life, and you continue to do it today, and is very normal for you today, you think that this is how life should run. What you do is you stuff yourself until you're aching and you're guilty. That should ring some bells for you. Think of all the times, either recently or in the past, where you stuffed yourself until you're aching and then you're guilty. Maybe you stuffed yourself with a Netflix marathon, or you stuffed with yourself with a porn marathon, or you stuffed yourself with food at a buffet or some restaurant or backyard barbecue. Or you stuffed yourself with reading or with knowledge, or you stuffed yourself with work. It's like work, 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 right? What you did is you stuffed yourself. Think about the last time that you stuffed yourself and how you felt. You felt very full, but you also felt dirty. And really, even though you felt full on the surface, deep down below the surface, what happened is that you felt empty inside. And no matter how much you consume, that emptiness is never filled. Because this is the inescapable limit of hedonism and materialism, is that you can't fill that emptiness of being with more doing or with material external possessions or activities. No matter how much you try, you can't do it. So the problem here is that you're running away from this existential emptiness. And this existential emptiness, usually most of us think of it as a problem, something to avoid, but actually it's something that you need to open yourself up to and to face and to embrace and to accept. And this is what most people do not do. And by not doing this, this leads to all manner of dysfunctional addictive behaviors. And it leads to just a dissatisfaction with life. And then ultimately can lead to depression and even to suicide. Because being, by its nature, is empty. That is the nature of being itself, is emptiness. But see, most people don't like this idea. At first, it seems kind of negative and it seems depressing. Actually, it's not. It's a very beautiful and incredible experience to fully realize the emptiness of being and to be one with it. This is a very profound experience. This is what spirituality is based upon. But most people aren't mature enough to grasp this, and they're so busy running away from it because they've been running away from it since they were like 3 years old that now it seems like it's the normal thing to do. It's fear of the void, the existential void inside of you. This is the void you feel when you start to think and contemplate about your own death. Have you ever just sat down and contemplated your own death? Do you realize that you will be dead within the next 20, 30, 50 years at most? You'll be dead, and you'll be dead forever. Never again in the billions of years that this universe will go through will you ever again be alive. Now sit with that and think about that for a moment and try to imagine what the experience of death is. I don't mean going through death, but I mean after you're dead, what that is, that lack of experience, in other words. There will be no more colors or sounds or tastes. There won't be sex. There won't be entertainment. There won't be porn. There won't be video games. There won't be business activity. There won't be money making. There won't be fun. There won't be travel. There won't be sadness. There won't be anything. There won't be fear. There won't be, bodily sensations of any kind. It's going to be a complete void. So empty that it's not even going to be black. And it's not even going to be silent, because silence and darkness are actually a phenomenon of life. So it's going to be so empty that you're not even going to have those things. It's the same emptiness that you experience when you're in deep sleep. Not when you're dreaming, but when you're in deep sleep and you have no sensations and no memories of anything. You don't even know that you're alive. That's what the void is like. It's what you were before you were born. Think back to what your life was before you were born. It was a void, right? You have nothing. You have zero experience of it. So that's the thing you're ultimately running away from. And that's something that you don't just, I'm not just saying you're running away from death. I mean, you're running away from that sort of emptiness. That sort of emptiness, it doesn't just exist after death. It exists right now in the reality of being itself. So if you just sit and do nothing, what you have is you just have raw experience. And if you sit there long enough, you start to realize that all this experience that's happening, it's always changing, it's always in flux. And ultimately, none of it means anything. And this might start to make you depressed. This might lead to an existential crisis. But what has to happen is that you have to face this. You have to face this void at one point in your life if you want to conquer addiction sustainably. See, a lot of people, what they do when they have an addiction is they look for kind of a service level solution. It's like, well, how do I change my behavior so I stop smoking or I stop overeating? How do I go to the gym more and work out more? All that stuff, it can be useful to a degree, but it will not really allow you to conquer addiction permanently, sustainably, because it doesn't get you looking at the void and accepting the void. So, how do we get you to conquer the void and to accept it? Well, you can't really conquer it, but you can come to peace with it. And it's really simple. If you permanently want to conquer any addiction that you have, here's what you do. Is you just sit with emptiness and do nothing. So if it's a food addiction, you sit with an empty stomach and you don't do anything. And if it's a drug addiction, you just sit there with clean veins, and you don't do anything. You don't fill them with any addictive substances. And if it's a video game addiction, then you just sit there without any stimulating images or pixels moving in front of your eyes. And so on and so forth, right? And as you do that, don't go into fantasy. but just sit there very mindfully. Don't distract yourself. You're going to be very tempted to distract yourself with some book or call a friend or talk to your family or go to the park or whatever. But you have to notice that all those are distractions from just facing being itself and facing that emptiness of being. And as you sit there and you face that emptiness, what you have to do is you just have to surrender yourself to the purifying fire of emptiness, where those cravings will come up in you, and all your suffering will come up, and all your desire for sex and for money and for food and for fun and for socialization and for love and for all this kind of stimulating, exciting stuff. All those cravings will come up, and you're going to have to suffer through all those and sort of face your inner demons. And as you sit there and brace yourself, you're going to have a psychosomatic reaction. Your mind is going to be going crazy, and your body is going to be going crazy, and you're going to feel uncomfortable and perhaps even ill. And it's going to be emotionally challenging. But what's going to happen is that the longer you sit there, hour after hour after hour doing nothing, that purifying fire will burn out all your inner demons. And you can just imagine this, all your inner demons are just kind of escaping you as every hour goes by. And that's how you conquer every addiction. If you don't do this, then you don't really conquer the addiction. You just find a short-term solution, and usually what happens is that you're going to fall back into it. If not in a week, then in a month, and if not in a month, then in a year, and if not in a year, then in 10 years. You will fall back into it because you haven't really faced the inner demons. You've just swept them under the rug. So what I'm giving you here is a mature solution to addiction. This is a very mature solution. This is the ultimate solution. And the way you tell it's mature is that it's very emotionally challenging. This is not easy to do. Most people don't want to do this. In fact, this leads us to the catch-22 that every addict faces when they're going through recovery. The catch-22 of addictions is that every addict, when he tries to go through recovery, wants to find a technique that will help him to avoid the emotional labor of recovery. But it's that avoidance of emotional labor which created the addiction in the first place. So if you notice, those people that are really hardcore addicts in whatever field of life, they are the ones who tend to avoid emotional labor the most. That's basically what addiction is coming from. It's the avoidance of emotional labor. Emotional labor, one of the forms of emotional labor here, is this emotional labor that comes when you sit there and do absolutely nothing. It seems like doing absolutely nothing is simple and not laborious at all. And actually, for someone who's psychologically healthy and mature and not an addict, it's the most pleasant thing ever. But for someone who is an addict, sitting and doing nothing is like torture. It's really emotionally laborious, which is kind of the paradox of it. And most addicts, they just want a quick fix solution. They don't want to face their emotional labor. But it's because they don't want to face their emotional labor that they're addicts. You see? So it's like a vicious cycle. And at one point or another, what's going to happen to you in your life is you're going to realize this. You're really going to get it. Not just hearing it from me, but you're really going to like feel it in your bones at one point. And if you do, then that will be the beginning of the end of your addictions. And if you don't, if you keep resisting and you keep running away from this, and you just hear my words, but you don't really get them to penetrate down into your bones, then you're going to be an addict for the rest of your life in one form or another. all addiction is basically emotional immaturity. All addiction is basically childishness. It's pretty profound to think of it that way. Let me give you my top three techniques for addicts, for becoming a non-addict, for becoming a really psychologically stable and internally grounded human being. This is what's necessary if you want to self-actualize. You can't be fully self-actualized while at the same time holding a bunch of addictions. It's just not going to work. So my top three techniques. Number one is the do-nothing technique. Number two is mindfulness meditation. Number three is strong determination sitting. And then a bonus, number four, is what I call existential investigation. So let me just briefly cover these. I actually have videos that cover most of these techniques in a lot of depth, so I'm not going to go into the details here. I have a video about technique number one, which is the do-nothing technique. You can search for it. I have a video for mindfulness meditation. You can search for that. I have a video for strong determination sitting. You can search for that. So that covers those three. They're all really powerful, and they're basically different ways of just sitting and doing nothing and paying attention to present experience, to being. And then the fourth bonus technique is the existential investigation. And what that is you sit down and you actually start to investigate who and what you are existentially. And you face your inner demons really head on. You don't just sit there. I mean, sitting there is really good, but you actually take an even more proactive approach. You start to ask yourself, okay, what's going to happen when I'm dead? You start to contemplate your own death. You start to face your own death. You start to face the insignificance of your existence. And that's something that I actually want to cover in a new episode that I'll shoot soon. I'll show you how to do this kind of existential investigation, and I'll talk about existential crises. So I don't want to go into that too deeply here. Just as a very simple technique, if you just want to start to break your addictions right now, all you really have to do is just make some time, sit in a room by yourself alone without any stimulation, without any music, without any books, without any games or television or anything else, and just sit there and do nothing. It's really that simple. Addiction is a much bigger problem than we realize. I mean, I'm talking about here what I would call kind of like hard addictions. Even things like video games or even things like shopping, I would call a hard addiction. But actually, there's a whole second category of addictions which I would call soft addictions or emotional addictions. And this is something I want to cover again in a separate episode because it's going to take me a while to explain all this. But basically, soft addictions are things that you wouldn't even ever consider as an addiction. For example, criticism or judgment. That might be an example of a soft addiction. Or an addiction to love and validation from other people. Or an addiction for compliments from other people. Or an addiction for success. These sorts of things, most of us think that these are actually good things. Or if they're not good things, we think that they're not really addictions. But actually, they are addictions, and they're in fact some of the most important addictions that you have, even besides your drug addiction or your porn addiction or your video game addiction. And I'll talk more about that in the future with additional episodes. So one way to look at self-actualization is you can think of it as the removal of addictions. That's one way to think of it. There's a lot of different perspectives that you can take on self-actualization because it's a very deep and kind of high-level abstract concept. But that one is one that I really like. Because when I think of a self-actualized human being, one of the things that immediately comes to mind is that this person is totally internally grounded and not dependent on any particular form of stimulation at all. Now, this doesn't mean this is an anal person, and that this person can't have fun or can't watch some TV once in a while or can't play a video game. He can, but he doesn't need it. He doesn't crave it. He's transcended all that stuff. And in fact, for him, the thing that's most enjoyable is not watching TV or playing a video game or watching some porn. The most enjoyable thing for him is just to sit and to be. That's become more enjoyable. Now think about that. How close are you to that ideal? You might be very far off. Think about what it would take, how you would have to structurally change your life to get to the point where you can just sit and be as happy as you are playing video games, let's say, or watching a Netflix marathon without any stimulation at all. Do you believe that that's even possible? Can you see the power of that? Can you see why it would be powerful to just sit and do absolutely nothing and be just as satisfied as you are when you're stuffing yourself with food, or when you're shopping, or when you're gossiping with your friends? You see why this is powerful? If you can be happy doing nothing at all, think about what happens when you actually are doing something wonderful, like watching a beautiful sunset, or hiking in the mountains, or playing a fun video game, or smoking some pot. You can still do all those things, but just think about how much more enjoyment you'll get if your baseline level of enjoyment is already at the maximum of where you currently are when you're doing all those activities. You see? It's like an overflow of internal wealth, you might say. You know, external wealth is like money, houses, and yachts. Internal wealth is how happy you can be doing nothing. And that's something that you develop. That's not something that comes to you by accident. People don't just grow up with a lot of great internal wealth. Almost everybody starts with zero internal wealth, and it has to be developed through self-actualization work. That's what this whole channel is about. That's what this whole website is about. That's what everything I tell you is leading you towards in one fashion or another. So keep that in mind. One last issue I want to address here before I go is 12-step programs. So you might be wondering, well, Leo, what about 12-step programs? Is this something I should do? Are they good? What you're suggesting here is slightly different than most 12-step programs. So here's a scoop on 12-step programs. They can be very helpful. And for many people who have heart addictions, they need support from knowledgeable experts who have already gone through, you know, all this stuff, and who can help them and hold their hand and guide you through all the steps. So that can be very helpful. But most 12-step programs lack the big picture. You can enroll in a 12-step program and you'll go through and they'll give you a lot of different techniques and that stuff will be great, but they won't give you the really big picture because they don't, quite frankly, understand it themselves, right? Your mission is not to quit an addiction. And that's the only real mission that a 12-step program will give you. It'll just say, okay, let's have you quit this addiction. And maybe they'll say, let's replace this bad addiction with some good addictions. But they won't give you the true mission that you need to have, which is to become self-actualized. See, there's a very big difference between what we might say playing defense versus playing offense. In a 12-step program, you're playing defense. You're not playing offense. You're not trying to become the best human being you can possibly be. You're simply trying to overcome a deficiency or a dysfunction that you have. And while that can be good, it's better than nothing, it's not as good as what I'm telling you here. And really, you can do both, right? You can take the techniques from the 12-step program, but most importantly, have the mission to become self-actualized, to become your greatest self, to become the greatest that a human being can become. And if you do that, then that will be much more motivating for you than just to quit a drug or just to quit food for basically a negative reason. You need a positive reason. And the most positive reason is to become self-actualized. All right, that's it. I'm done. Please click the like button on this. Post your comments down below. I do read a majority of the comments. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come check out actualize.org. It's my website. I've got some free resources on there that will help you to self-actualize. I'm not really interested in just helping you overcome a little problem that you have in your life, or even a big problem. Self-actualization is not about fixing problems. It's about living life to its fullest, right? This is a very different attitude. Most people don't have this attitude in life, and it takes a while before you can acquire this attitude and you can understand all the facets of it. There's a lot of conceptual frameworks that you need to really get on track with self-actualization. Also, various techniques. What I do every single week is I release new content through my newsletter and on my YouTube channel that explains all this stuff. This is all very practical stuff. My approach to self-improvement is very hard-nosed, no nonsense, no new age type of stuff. I'm just really practical about the concepts and techniques that I find and how do I apply them in my life. And I love to share them with you and to show you the kind of results that you can get. So go check that out. If you sign up to the newsletter, it's free and it'll keep you on track so you don't lose track of this, so you don't forget. It's very easy to forget. You might watch one of my episodes and then the next week, it's as though you watch nothing. It just kind of goes in one ear and out the other, never to be remembered again, and your life doesn't change. And what I want for you is I want not just a change in your life, I want to help you make a transformation in your life. And that's possible, but you have to stick around with me. You have to learn some of the frameworks. And that will take a while, right? Might take you 6-12 months to really start to soak this stuff in and start to get on track. So the newsletter is a really great way to do that. I also have a course. I have a book list. All those are great resources. And I'm working to release more free resources and also paid courses in the future that will help you to do all that. So sign up and check it out and stay tuned for more, which I'll see you with real soon.